connected to CNN Network.
It's quiet here on the FBI.
You're connected to CNN Network.
Here it is, I got... W8FU.
Good morning, K8RUH.
Good morning. Huh. My automatic lights must not be on. It's the first day I've taken off where I actually need my lights.
Yep, it's getting to that time of year.
So I was looking at that Anytone with that remote mic. Adds another $140 to the cost, but it's pretty reasonably priced. The whole package, you know, comes in pretty reasonably. I mean, you know, it's $450, but still, you know, when you compare it to other radios out there.
Yeah, it's not that bad. You know, and if you're really looking, you can find them a deal on one every now and again. There's a distributor in West Bloomfield or something, and every now and again, they'll post something on Facebook that they're selling a demo model, or they go to the shows and they sell everything for like 10 or 15% off or something like that. Hey, I had to double back. I'm running into the house real quick. I'll be back in like 1 minute. Hang tight. K8RUH.
All right. W8FU.
And I'm back. K8RUH.
Okie dokie. So what radio are you on right now?
I am on an ICOM 2730.
Okay, that's a nice radio, but analog only, I think. Where do you run the Anytone?
Well, currently it's on my desk in the basement, but it will ultimately end up in my truck. So I gotta, in the next couple weeks, get that put in, and then, because I wanted a dual band DMR radio, and there is no such thing in the Motorola world, so I went with that.
Right, right. Well, the only thing I was thinking, if I have to go to a two radio setup to do it, but, you know, if I could live without P25 in the car, which, you know, for me it's a little different. And, you know, in two respects. One, I could use 800. So I've been thinking about getting, like, an APX 7500. That's VHF 800. And that would be my, P25. 800. Yeah, I could do it on TJ's machine downtown, the VHF machine, and then do that in a handheld control head, which I already have, so I just got to get the deck, really. And then I could run like an XBR 5550 for the UHF and DMR. So I'd have to do it with two radios, any way you slice it up. So, but I don't know. You know, the 800 system doesn't require a mobile. You can run around with a handheld and work that perfectly. So, you know, if I could just get that dual band DMR radio and just run around with a handheld for the P25 stuff. Now, the UHF needs a little oomph. You're in VHF P25, but that's it's more important for me than you. But it's not even that high on the priority list for me.
Yeah, and you you more than me, you're playing over on the P25 on your UHF machine. So, you know, I just can't get good enough connection with the handheld to the VHF or UHF machines around town, at least where I'm at typically. So I don't carry that radio, but I understand why you do.
Right. And I could, like I was saying, I could probably get away with a handheld most of the time. But, yeah, oh well. Just random thoughts here this morning, bouncing them off you. I don't know what all I'm going to do. I do have a deal I'm working out for a multi-mode, multi-folder call radio, like I said, but there's still some issues there, so we'll see. But that might, at least for a little while, that might be a pretty cool solution. We'll see. I do like that. So that's why I don't just get one of those Anytones and just install it in the car right now. And I'm just a little bit unsure what's going in there. But enough on all that. We beat that horse.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, but it's a fun horse to beat on, isn't it?
That's true. It's what we do. So why do I have a little green, like, light symbol illuminated on my dash? What the hell does that mean?
I have one also. I believe it indicates that the lights are on automatic. I'm not sure, but I definitely have it too.
It's like two lights with like green, little green hash marks coming out of it, like showing it's like illuminated. Yeah, I never noticed that before. So let's see, that's off, park, automatic. I have no idea what I'm looking at here. Oh, well, this vehicle is I'm still figuring a couple of things out with it.
You got your personal vehicle today or the shop vehicle?
This is the work vehicle. So the Expedition.
Ah, okay.
Looks like my choices are off, parking, and on. I don't even know if I have automatic, quite honestly.
Well, I hope you do, because I feel like at this point in the game, it would be quite exhausting to have to remember to turn your headlights on all the time, since, like, every car comes with it now.
Yeah, maybe it's off parking auto. I don't know. There's another symbol on the light switch, but I can't quite make it out. And the center of the button doesn't push, so I don't know what that could possibly mean. Oh, you pull it out? Ah, interesting. So the switch pulls out, and then there's another green illuminated thing on the dash. So now I got two green illuminated things, and there's an amber illuminated thing on the light switch bezel that matches the green one that just appeared. Oh, well, time to crack out the book.
Well, the second light that popped up could be the fog light, indicating that the fog light's turned on.
Yeah, good point. Maybe. A little too much light now out to tell on the open road. Maybe if I was, you know, butted up against the building, I could tell, but I'm going to be losing that ability real quick here. Sun is popping up. Well, I'll figure it out. Anyhow, just occurred to me, I have a car and I have no idea how the light switch works. I haven't had to think about that in a very long time.
Yeah, for a very long time, your work vehicle and your personal vehicle were the same model, right?
Yeah, just, you know, one generation earlier on the Escape, I had a third-gen Escape for work and then a fourth-gen personal. So that's still bouncing around in the fleet, but I decided to take this thing and put that in the technician rotation.
Hey, has anybody heard from Rick lately? He hasn't been on, and I know he was having some health issues, and yeah, it's been quite a while.
I sent him a text, and he wrote back that he'd just been busy doing physical therapy and some other stuff that's just got him, it's been difficult to get on the air. And he says when he does get on, there's nobody on, because he gets on a little later, and I think everybody's made it to work. But did indicate he was okay. But that was a while back. I haven't heard him again in quite a while. He may, and I think he's also over on the Discord, so you could maybe rattle his cage there. But I did just get a chime come in on my phone, so let's see if that's something.
All right, well, good. I'm glad he's getting his physical therapy in and everything.
Nope, phone wasn't anything regarding that. So, yeah, perhaps I'll put out a inquiry in Discord or something. Chris, I don't know how much he used that. He has popped in there a few times.
And then is TJ's UHF machine downtown still having issues? I haven't heard any of those guys to the south getting in lately.
Yeah, it receives just fine, but the transmitter is off the air. So you can use it as a receiver if you know to listen on the one of the other repeaters. But I don't think most of the guys down that way know that. So, but he swapped it out. He pulled the MTR out and threw a Quantar up there and discovered that the antenna was bad. That's why the MTR was complaining. So he switched it over to another antenna, a bit of a compromise compared to the one it was on, but the one it was on is bad. So anyhow, I think he just, you know, he's got that repeater owner frustration. You know, you got all this time and effort and money tied up in all this gear, and you do all this stuff, and he's, you know, you got to make the time, go do it. And then something else pops up right after you spend all this time and effort doing something. You just say, you know what, it ain't worth it. You ignore it for a while. And then that gnaws at you for a while, and then you go fix it.
Yeah, and he has the added frustration that he doesn't live in town anymore. So I would imagine it makes things extra difficult.
Yep, not only that, you know, the site is extremely limited access. So, you know, it's not like I can go work on it for him. So, and he's got some guys, you know, that can, you know, they can do simple stuff. Like they can go reboot it for him or something like that. But nobody that really can get access to it that really has the chops to work on it, fix it.
I guess that's probably the pros and cons of having a really good Toledo,
Ohio.
Right? The pro is it's a good site. Con is it's super limited access, so you can't get to it when with just anybody and when you need to.
Yeah, Yep, that's correct. I heard a PIJ in Toledo, Ohio. Go ahead. This is W8FU, Sean, up here in Clinton Township.
Yeah, PIC, Papa India Charlie, Whiskey Delta 8. One 200, just checking out a neat band opening this morning.
Very cool. Well, welcome to the conversation. K8RUH, and I'm in Warren, Michigan. Name is Anthony.
Okay, yeah, I'm using
which repeater are you on down there?
An older Kenwood
I'm going to switch them off on the band opening. I might hear some
activity
there. It's a popular one on the Mount Clemens that comes in from Ohio quite often.
Oh, I doubled with you. Say that again.
Oh, I was just wondering which repeater you're on. There are multiple link repeaters here.
Yes, I know. I'm on 200. I'm on the 200, 442.2. If there's a better one, if there's a better one, I'll go to it.
I'm not familiar with 442.2, unless that's one of the MI8 or the MI1 repeaters. Must be. So, wow, you got to be really making a trip. I'll have to look when I get situated where 442.2 is.
Yeah, we had a local repeater on down here, but it's off the air. And I've been listening to your conversation for quite a while. I'm in a condominium, but I'm under an HOA, but they let me have antennas, which I'm thankful for. And I have a two-section diamond on one mount and a three-section diamond on the other mount. And some other antennas. I'm getting ready to put a low-band dipole back up. So, like I said, the association's been very good to me, and I'm very thankful for it. Been a ham since 78. I'm totally blind and have some other health issues, and just enjoying the... We're going to get thunderstorms and a cold front this afternoon, so I'm assuming the band opening is because of that. But go ahead.
Yeah, that would make sense. I think we're supposed to get a similar weather system coming in here later today. It's pretty cool you're getting in from Ohio. I'll throw it over to you, Sean.
Yep. So, get those ducks set up, temperature inversions, get those ducks setting up over the lakes. Might say whereabouts in Ohio. I have some family from down there. A lot of my family is from the Fremont, Clyde, Sandusky area, and that's why I'm a Buckeye, OH, but you might comment on where in higher you are, and yeah, diamonds, love diamonds. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. W8NFC Mobile.
Good morning. Sean, it sounds like we may have lost
Ohio in there today, and I was looking over to, but apparently...
I heard the call, didn't catch it, though, to repeat it. Go ahead, station, I just called in. Mobile station.
Yeah, I think about three of us doubled with each other there, but W8NSC, I'll stand by, let's go around.
I'm ordering at Starbucks.
Go ahead, mobile station.
Anyway, Sean, go turn it. At Starbucks, WNSC, Nick here, mobile heading north on the Richmond machine. I didn't catch your call. Go ahead and pick it up.
No, I'm still here. I went up to the 3-5, but I was hearing it real good, and I got into it, but you didn't hear me, so I'm back to 200, WDHPIC.
WAPIC, do you know where that repeater is located?
No, I do not. I've come across these repeaters before on band openings, but I have no idea where it's located.
I got it. All right. Like Sean said, we'll have to, when we get into the office, we'll figure out where that's at. So.
And, I don't
all
know
right.
If
I don't know who
is
next in the rotation.
There you have it.
You guys doubled.
Well, I just jumped in and said it's in BERT. It's the KC8ELQ repeater in BERT. I think that's up near Saginaw, isn't it? I don't know where BERT is. Anthony?
Honestly, I'll have to look at a map. I know Burton is up near Saginaw, but I don't know about BERT.
Yeah, BERT's just south of Saginaw. Probably about 10 miles south of.
That's amazing that he'd be getting in there. How about the 442.6? 442.6, PL-123.
All right, guys, I'm pulling up to the office here. I'll listen out. This is KE8RUH. It's good talking to everybody this morning. Have a great day.
All right, later, Anthony.
I tried the 6. I can barely hear it, and I couldn't get into it. Go ahead.
All right, well, the duck's going to do what the duck's going to do.
Yeah, you know how ducking is. Like I said, I've been doing this since 78, so I'm familiar with it. God, I remember the days when you had to hunt to find a blank repeater, you know, before the cell phones and everything came out. And now look at how it is. I can also hear you on 442.35, but I scanned and got the tone, but you're not hearing me.
Well, I guess why fight it? You seem to be coming in really well on the 200, the BERT machine, and might as well use it while you can. So, Nick, what's got you out and about? Got a report in downtown, I assume? I don't know. Maybe we lost Nick.
Well, I don't hear him coming back, so I'm assuming we did.
Hey, I could have got a phone call. Maybe he got where he was going. Who knows? I was busy chatting with the barista here at Starbucks, so I could have missed his cue. Anyhow, I just bought my coffee this morning, and I buy that about 1 mile from my shop. So I got just a little bit to go here, and I'll be destinated. But yeah, it's an interesting duck. I was asking earlier whereabouts in Ohio. I've got family from down there.
Sylvania, Ohio. It's a western suburb of Toledo.
All right, yeah, I kind of know where that is. So I get in the Wauseon and have some friends up in Tecumseh, and they usually shop down in Wauseon and whatnot, and there's a stuff, so not terribly far from there. But, yeah, my family's from mostly Fremont and Clyde, so that's where my family's all from.
I'm familiar with it. I've got friends up there. So, yeah, just enjoying, like I said, enjoying a nice duck. I've been tuning around. The first thing I do is go to the weather services, and I noticed that every frequency was crowded plus. So I thought, okay, time to go to the ham band.
Oh, that's clever. Yeah, use those as beacons, sure. Why not? So I know on the HF bands, you know, I use FT8. A portion of the band is just in a wonderful, you don't need beacons anymore. All you got to do is just tune into the FT8 frequency, and you can generally get a pretty damn good idea of what the band conditions are. Although they can be overly ambitious or give you overconfidence, because, man, I'll tell you what, even when the bands are dead, they seem like there's stuff going on.
Yeah, well, Yeah, well, FT8 can work with extremely weak signals. FT8 can work with extremely weak signals, so, but yes, but the key to the FT8 is to listen to both cycles. Don't just, okay, I hear somebody, the band's got a, you have to see if you're hearing both cycles before you, you know, because I don't have any way to decode that, but I've learned that just because I tune there and hear a signal, I have to make sure that I hear the next cycle. And if I hear only one or two stations in that cycle, then I know the band's not that great. But if I hear a crowd, a huge crowd of signals, then I know, then I got pretty good hope that the rest of the band might be doing okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. You know, of course, I have the benefit of being able to look at the spectrum display, and you know, it's pretty helpful in figuring it out as well. But yeah, it's good to know. I will keep that in mind. And you know, and now that you say it, it's obvious. But never really thought about it. You quite by necessity figure out those things. Cool. But you say you have no way to decode it. Is there any blind-friendly FT8 software? I don't see why there wouldn't be. I'll be back on in a minute. W8FU.
Yeah, the duct is getting worse. There is, but I'm not a big computer user, so I have one, but I'm not a computer user. I choose to do things by radio whenever possible. So no, I'm not into that.
I think Sean jumped out of the office, so he'll be back on in a minute. But WNSC here. Jump back in from the gas station. Headed to my destination. I'm just west of Port Huron, right about 15 miles.
WDAPIC.
WDAPIC, WNFC. Go ahead, sir.
Yep, you're sounding good into the machine here. Just enjoying the morning band opening until it goes away.
Yeah, I'll have to see what I can get into when I get up here on I-69 headed west. See what I can get into in fine morning. A little foggy up here, but looking okay. I was up a little early at the down power line in the neighborhood, had to get up to the fire department and call the electronics or the electric company.
You don't have smart meters or anything to let them know the power's out?
I'm on the fire department, so when the wire came down, it pulled the meter off the gentleman's house, so he called the fire department. To go out there in our dispatch center, let the power company know if there's a problem, so take it off and went back home.
Oh, okay, so you got it earlier than normal.
Yeah, earlier than normal, and then I'm going to not my normal work site this morning. I'm doing some little traveling today. Just heading up into Michigan, some of our state police post that I work at, so got a little bit of a drive ahead of me, but I should be able to hit all of our links and meters up here that are in our network, so all the way up and back.
Yeah, I'll have to turn around before the band opens. I used to have a whole bunch of these in the memory, but I've got some of them. I should turn around and see if I can find any more. I found a that I can hear much better, but you guys can't hear me, so I'll have to tune around and see if I can find anything else.
Yeah, I should be up on the Mayville repeater in probably about a half hour. I'll punch that one in and get up that way. This one I should be able to hold for a while. It's in Richmond. It's only probably about 10 miles from where I'm at.
Yeah, hopefully the dust will still occur. I'm at 442.2. That seems to be the one that I'm hitting the best right now until I find another one. I can hear three, and I get into it, but for whatever reason, it's not talking back, so I'll have to keep searching.
I don't know if it's where I'm at, or I don't know if the band closes.
Into other links on your way up to the site then, huh? There, now the AM's coming back. I'm back in here, WDAPIC.
What area of Ohio did you say you were from? Where is your occupation?
KDKJL.
You're connected to CMN Network.
On your way to the office?
Sure am.
So am I. I gotta pick up two wireless door contacts because the ones I was messing with yesterday just don't want to work right.
Yeah, we've got a door in our office that never wants to work right. People basically started using it because it doesn't, hear like the motion sensor going. The door, the magnet click, but the door was blown open.
Feel your pain. Oh, I got a phone call. KJ, I'll be back.
Be like.
W8NRC Mobile.
W8FSM Mobile, Grambling.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Hello, Echo 8, Foxtrot.
You're connected to CMN Network.
W-A-R-C-Y, finally on air. Good afternoon, everybody. W-A-R-J-D, mobile.
Connected to CMN Network.
W-A-R-J-D, R-J-D. Hey, Ryan. It's Dave. K-Z-Z. What's happening? Hey, Dave. Nothing much. Just leaving the courthouse. I'm traveling on M-59, getting ready to... Let's see, where am I now? I'm at... probably at Squirrel here. No? Let's see, Opdyke? I think I'm at Opdyke. Just leaving the courthouse. Had a lovely morning at court. How are you doing today? Fantastic. Our son and his wife, they've been married just over a year. Like this month was a year. And they bought their first house, so we just got a tour of their house. They finally... So it was really cool. They're very excited. So we're going to go out to lunch and celebrate a little bit. It was great. So you're mourning in court. Did you win? Win some, lose some? Or was it just other administrative stuff? I don't know what goes on there. Oh, these were all probate cases. So, you know, I guess mainly administrative because you're just kind of doing it. We didn't have any contested matters up today. Just mainly, like, you know, judge granting petitions and things like that. So where's your son and daughter-in-law living? Where they moved to? Where they lived? This is their first house. Where they setting down roots or for their first home?
They're in, I think it's Macomb Township. It's like maybe a mile and a half or 2 miles northwest of the Partridge Creek Mall off of Hall Road there. It's great. They're on a court, which is always nice, and it's a nice starter home. It's really cool, but it's so funny because I don't know when it was built, but I'm going to guess in late 60s maybe early 70s. So it's got some work on it that's needed. Not a lot. I mean, it's beautiful inside, but there's work, and I just was kind of chuckling at my son going, and now it begins, all the little projects.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I remember that well. Now I'm inclined when we get those projects, I find that the most effective tool in my toolbox is my checkbook. But yeah, when we first moved in, our first home, which, by the way, we still own our first home. It's still, we use it as a rental property now. Because we moved out in like 2011. That's right. It was right during the mortgage crisis. And we didn't want to take a loss on the house, so we started renting it out and just kind of kept doing it. It got paid off, and then now we just kind of use it as, you know, a little additional income, just a little additional thing. But man, they've got to be, you know, it's funny because you remember back to those days, so exciting, you know, first year marriage, your first house, like, yeah, and you know, those projects, you don't look at them like the way I would now, like, you know, you looked at, you kind of, you were ready to go, you had all that energy.
Totally. Yeah, I remember. I remember our first house when we were in there painting before we actually moved in. So that's always a nice thing to do. But even the painting was like, yay, we're gonna paint this room now. Where today I'd be like, I'm not painting that. I'm having somebody else paint that. I don't want that paint in my neck. I'm certainly not doing the ceiling. Heck no. All of those types of things. But I was also telling him because he doesn't have any tools. They're in a rental house now, so it's, anything that happened there, you know, they would have the landlord company come and fix it. But now, he doesn't have tools, so I said, every project is an opportunity to get a new tool. He's like, oh, I didn't think of that. I'm like, heck yeah.
That's absolutely right. I can't even think of how many tools. And then when my father-in-law passed away, we got all of his tools. So that, you know, I've got even more. But yeah, you just acquire them by project along the way. But yeah, boy, I'm trying to, because like, I know the area well out there, but I actually used to live when I was a kid at 21 and Romeo Plank, but he's out there by Partridge Creek, so that's out by like Heidenreich there. I thought there was a lot of newer homes back there.
He said it's 21, and I don't know if it's tilt or haze, but it's right in that area you're describing.
Oh, yeah. Because my wife and I still actually own another rental property. We have a house at, it's actually my father-in-law's house. After he passed, we got it. It's at Canal and Shaner. So right behind Lakeside Mall, or what used to be Lakeside Mall. But yeah, I know the area well because I'm out there all the time. And then my wife's aunt lives in the same neighborhood, so we're there all the time. But yeah, oh yeah, I grew up right around in there. Just right, like I said, Romeo Plank, Till Chase, that was all where I lived.
Yeah, very cool. So you know the area. There's a ton of stuff here now. It's wild. They're not hurting for stores to go to. And speaking of places, I just parked in front of Hopcat. We're going to go in there for some lunch. So I'll say talk with you later. Ryan, it's great catching up. It's so funny because I'm not on here often, and Sean's probably going, yeah, you're darn right you're not on here often. I can hear him swearing at me through the radio. But when I get on here, I hear you, and I'm like, hey, it's Ryan again. I got to talk to Ryan. So nice chatting with you, and have a great one for W8RJT. KZ8T. I'm out of here after yours.
Hey, Hopcat's a great lunch. I love that place. Have a good one. Enjoy it. 73 KZ8T, W8RJT. I'll be clear monitoring. I heard somebody coming through, but there was a whole lot more static than I could pull out.
I said you overshot your 5 minutes.
Yeah, probably did. Oh, yeah. Probably. Isn't it 10 minutes, though? Oh, yikes, more bacon fry than I could hear signal. So hopefully I'll catch you again. W8RJD.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
Good afternoon, this is CMN. Oh, Renan Panarin, so we're a call sign out there. If you've got a moment to say hi, that'd be great. Otherwise, I hope you have a good day. Because this is Jim, 88 Carol.
W8RJD Mobile.
W8FQ.
Connected to CMN Network.
Hey, Sean, W8RJD.
Why
what's happening. Haven't heard you in a bit. Been doing okay?
Yeah, keeping busy with work and stuff, but now I'm driving around the lovely city of Rochester Hills off to do some visits in Pontiac. How are things with you guys? I heard you guys are working on some repeater out there. I can't remember which one, but you guys are pretty... A bunch of you guys were out there, sounded like.
Yeah, so Wally put a DMR repeater up, VHF DMR repeater up, and so that was probably it. There hasn't been much work on anything else recently. Other than that, just I've been busy with other stuff, so I haven't been doing a lot of radio the last couple, 3 weeks. But that's about it. I got a little bucket list or a little laundry list of things I need to get to, and maybe one day I will.
VHF DMR, is that rough with the 6 kilohertz of separation on that?
No difference, the split will have no bearing on what mode you're using. In fact, it's narrower, so it might be a little bit easier to get a digital, and a little less susceptible to, it's very important. The split's just a bear in general. We did have trouble with the split and the cavities. There just weren't enough of them. It came from a service that had a much larger split, so 4 cavities accomplished the mission. But in the amateur world with 600 kilohertz, it just doesn't cut the mustard. But got it all worked out. Wally spent a lot of time on it.
Oh, okay. Where's that, where's the tower located on that?
New Haven area.
Oh, okay. You guys are getting some good coverage. I'm gonna need to get a DMR radio in my truck. I got the Yaesu, so I got Fusion, but, I'm gonna have to get a DMR radio in here. I think I've got a handheld that I probably could use. If I needed an amplifier, I probably could. I think I've got one of those little UHF amplifiers. I could use that in conjunction with one of my DMR handhelds, and that ought to get it done.
Yeah, I'm not so sure how DMR VHF is going to be in the long run. It's like, not another band on a mode. You know, there's a lot of UHF DMR out there, but there's a lot less VHF DMR rigs to operate it. Although it's gotten to be a lot less. Everybody's probably got something that'll do it. But I gotta get, from an RF perspective, I gotta get something out your way. I just gotta find someplace out that way. Because there's a lot of folks out that way, and it's just a bad area to cover with all the nooks and crannies and hills. I just would love to get something to bolster up the RF into that triangle out there, Rochester, and let's say in and around Stony Creek.
What do you need to get that done? Because I've got a lot of contacts out here. If you want to contact me offline, let me know, like, what you need, like, because I'm still fairly well connected with a lot of the business owners, you know, building owners, hospital. Oh, you know, that's one. What do you think about Ascension, the what used to be Crittenden? They're pretty high up, aren't they?
Not bad. I kind of already got that one in my hip pocket. I can control the rooftop there. So that one is on my radar. I never really gave it much thought, so thank you. You can think that one over. I don't know how high it is. haven't been out there in a while working on my stuff. But, yeah, it's just really finding something, you know, tall, and whether it be a tower or a building. Not a lot of buildings, you know, there's that. So I can't remember how big that one is out there. It's kind of in the right spot, sort of, kind of.
The only question that I have with that one is the elevation, because I know that there's that, you know, the hill goes down as you go into Rochester, and I don't know if the elevation comes back up where Crittenden is. I know that the city also has a tower at the municipal offices. And obviously I know the mayor quite well. But I know that it's also kind of a pain in the butt to use municipal because, you know, they have a lot of requirements.
Oh, do I know that? So, yeah. So, but, yeah, just keep it in mind. You know, there was a good site, has a good view. I'd love to light up that area. And it's just a tough area to cover. It's just, you're starting to get into those foothills, and it's just rough. And, you know, with the Clinton River running all through the area, it's kind of a valley. So, you know, there's, you know, just tough to find something that can cover it. But, so keep it in mind that if you see something, shoot me a text or an email. Are you on the Discord, by the way? Do you do Discord, first of all? And if you are you on ours? We need to get you on the Discord.
I am on Discord. I was on, I think there was an older Discord server that I was on, but then I think they stopped it, and then I think they went to Telegram, and then I think they stopped doing the Telegram, but it sounds like you guys have a new Discord server. Yeah, if you could shoot me over a link to that, I'd like to get on that.
Yeah, there's two of them that I'm pretty, I keep tabs on. There's the Macomb ARPSC one, which you'd probably be less interested in. Although a lot of the stuff going on there is not specifically, you know, Macomb ARPSC stuff. I mean, some is, but there's a lot of talk about antennas and radios and, you know, POTA and stuff like that. So there's a lot of good stuff going on there that's not necessarily specific, you know, to Macomb ARPSC. And even some of that stuff would be interesting, I suppose. And then we got the FBI one, which is just all, you know, no holds barred, kitty bar the doors, you know. I walk through the valley.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind shooting me over a link to both of those, I'd probably appreciate it. Yeah, I keep thinking of Crittenden because I keep thinking of the fact that they've got, that's where the sheriff's office has an agreement. They launch their drones from the roof there. They remote operate them out of Pontiac, and then they use the roof to as a where they have a charging station. So it must be decently elevated.
Yeah, I don't know how high you need for that. You just want to get it up above the, you know, the ground, get off the ground and something secure and that. But yeah, that's good stuff. Boy, those drone programs are amazing. Have you, you know, between flock cameras and drones and all this other stuff, has any of that trickled into your workday at all? Becoming, I know it's going to probably be more on a right kind of a level at this point in time, but there seems to be a lot of legal beagle stuff with that. We're going to be discovering here in the coming years.
So that did come my way on city council, both the drones and the flock. You know, they did come to us back when I was on council. They came to us with a request for the flock cameras. And yeah, and then the drones that we got, they actually gave us a pretty good deal on that. They just asked us to buy the drones and then the sheriff's department was operating them. Because my big thing about the drones was I just couldn't see a big enough use case to justify the expense. And the expense really isn't the drones. The expense is the manpower, you know, having the deputies to fly them. And that's just, I couldn't see the justification.
Oh, yeah, they got to have, you know, trained operators and, you know, pilots. They're literally pilots because you have to get your license and, you know, and then the training and everything else. But I saw, you know, that one place I know they're doing it really well is in Warren. And I saw a demonstration of it, and I was pretty, you know, I'm not a guy that's generally, you know, floored by technology, being I work in it firsthand, and I see all this stuff, particularly in that realm. But when I saw the cameras set up they had there, I'm like, holy smoke, that thing is sweet. So yeah, you know, the money, you know, there's that. But I was just amazed at how good, and the potential for what it could do just blew my mind. So it depends on what they get, I suppose. But it's really worth looking into a really good established program and seeing what they're doing with it.
They took me through the facility in Pontiac where they do the drone operations for the Oakland County Sheriff's Department. And it was pretty cool. The problem was, like I said, where I was fine, I'm like, okay, so what's the use case, right? Like, what do you use, so you got the drone, and I'm like, okay, so maybe you have a fugitive apprehension, right? Or maybe you're even looking for an elderly lady who's wandered away from home or something like that. Or maybe you can get to a crash scene a little bit earlier, and maybe you could tell whether, you know, what appropriate, you know, emergency vehicles are better to send out there. But, like, how often, I was just like, that's not terribly frequent that we need that, right, for having somebody who's going to man it 24/7, right?
Yeah, you know, I think the officers that are doing it, you know, they can do a whole range of other, you know, police duties, right? They're not just locked into that. And then it could be like your canine units. You know, you could call them in. There's not always a canine. They try to have one available, but, so I imagine like that. And same thing, a lot of expense there and manpower and all that. And, you know, how often do you bring the canine unit out, right? So it depends what they're trained for, obviously. But there's probably ways to mitigate that. But, I think there's also some, you know, there's the fugitive apprehensive, getting into a scene early, you know, to, you know, bring to bear the right resources, you know, particularly in a law enforcement scene. Protecting, if you could take a drone in, and we had a barricaded gunman in Mount Clemens, oh God, what was it now, probably a couple years ago now, and somebody brought in a drone, and I think it was the drones that ultimately, saved the day on that one, because they couldn't get near it, but the drones could, and they didn't know what they could do or what they couldn't do, and the drones were able to go in and see that the guy was taken out, and could have saved his life, possibly, you know, because it would have been hours before they would have been able to approach the place where he had been shot. I vaguely remember it all, you know, but I don't know. I mean, I guess I'd have to see the whole cost analysis, but I'm just enamored with the technology.
Yeah, you know, now that you mention it, I think I remember when we had that active shooter at Splash Pad. He went back to the trailer park where he lives it's on the other side of the Quinder. And we were able to send a drone into the trailer because they have these mini drones. They're real small. and they can get in. They can get into places where people, you know, like, you know, a person can't. Number one, and number two, you don't want to send a person in there, you know, with someone with all those guns and active, you know, an active shooter, basically. But it was really helpful there. In that case, the guy had killed himself. But what was nice was we had learned that he had killed himself before we sent officers in to find out, you know, and potentially get killed.
Right, yeah, I remember that one, too. And yeah, the one in Mount Clemens was similar. I don't think the guy was dead, but he was taken out, and you know, he was out of the fight, and they knew they could move in. And so, you know, it could have potentially saved even the perp's life. Not that, you know, I care about that all that much, but, you know, you definitely don't want the first responders risking their life because he's, you know, alive and well and trigger-happy. So they were able to figure out he was subdued. And so, yeah, I can see there's a lot of scenarios, and just being able to go in, you know, they just get a call. I saw one in actual real time. There was a call on some sort of a problem, some sort of crime being committed, and they were able to get a drone up and eyes on before a car could even, you know, get rolling. Practically, the nearest person that overheard the call just went up and got over there, and they had the whole lay of the land figured out, so it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm all in favor of anything that can protect our guys, you know, first responders out there, anything that's going to, you know, make it less dangerous for them going in. I'm in favor of it. Hey, Sean, I'm going to head out. I got just arrived at my destination. I'm going to say, I'll be back on in a few minutes, but I'll say 7-3, and I'll listen out. W8RJD.
All righty. Yeah, I got a few minutes to go here, but if we're here, we'll say have enough to say goodbye. But all right, have fun. Catch you in a bit. W8FU.
Are we having a good day?
Yeah, what was that song by Ice Cube? It was a good day.
I didn't know that's the song, lad. I am in Marysville right now. The theater works good up here.
Yeah, you're a little fluttery, but 100%. And so, yeah, it tends to work that way. And now we did put it on the leg that kind of is not shaded in that direction, so that could be part of it. So, but that was the goal. The goal was to cover that above, you know, first and foremost.
Yeah, I should be getting better here, get back on the highway and heading southwest. I guess technically they call it west, but it's kind of south. So southwest. South by southwest, I guess.
Oh, yeah, I always struggle with that whole north and south, east and west when it comes to I-94 out of the city. But I know either one. If you say you're on I-94 north of 14 Mile Road, I know exactly what you are. And you could say east of 14, and I would still know. So I can jumble it back and forth. The one I do get a little confused on is has 94 hooks down in Detroit, you know, where my kids live. You know, is it north and south of Kaju or east and west of Kaju? I have a hard time with that one.
Yeah, that road goes east and west. How does that work? Pretty good day, pretty busy. Working on a project down your way in Centerline now. The Ford store down there is doing a lot of remodeling. So I may be spending a few minutes down that way as well.
Today still or some other day?
Oh, some other day, not today still. Maybe tomorrow. One of the Ford reps is supposed to be there tomorrow. I talked to him on the phone,
said he would call me, so I don't know what that means. If he needs my expertise or not. So right now it's just in the selling stages. When it gets into the techie stages, I'll get more involved.
Well, Dar, you go. I get home, and I think my paperwork made it to Medford, Oregon today, so I'm really hoping that tomorrow or Friday my deal is done. I want to get out from underneath that. Just, I don't want to have it on my plate still. Seems like it's been a long time. So I got no plans to take any time off. I'll be at the shop.
Sort of head that way this week. Any day extra happy at the office, or don't know about them yet?
We had mini happy today, but not extra happy.
Good news, I started work on that Vertex standard repeater. I ordered the cable, the program that came in today. I got a copy of the 1927 programming software. Of course, like everything else, it's designed from 150 to 175. And I found the truck to turn it down to where it belongs. I might have to do some cap adjustments, but the internet says I can adjust the caps with a voltmeter. So I'm going to do that, and then I can check the alignment with it pretty close to myself. Then we'll have a couple more repeaters. Use one for a backup for the DMR in New Haven, and one for the Creeper van, and ARPSC. I gotta find out from you what the snapper pair are for VHF. I'm gonna put those in it and found out how to modify it to get it to go to wideband. So I did all of that fun stuff, and I might just reach in my pocket and buy them a MMDVM board for it as well. So that way they can have a multi-protocol repeater for situations. Well, you do what you gotta do. I'm with all the equipment donated to the cause. I'm done. It's feel free to use it all. Like I said, it's unrealized potential, but I ain't reaching any deeper. Don't need you to. Not surrendering the duplexer, so I'm going to keep those for a big project if whatever comes up. I'm putting those together too. I'm taking the 4-pack and building another 6-pack. I started drilling the brackets last night. As a matter of fact, I got the brackets all drilled, so they're all set, ready to go. I just got to move the cans over, then I'll put them on my device and get them closed. Then maybe we'll make a day of it again and bring it over to your place and stress test it to make sure it's all good, like we did before. And do a loss test on the receive side. So that way we'll have another set in case you need them, I need them, we need them, you know. Or the Mac needs them, or, you know, something like that. We'll have a set that's worthy of having.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Uh-huh. There you go. So, yeah, the biggest reason I'm not a VHF dabbler is just because, you know, limited amount of frequencies, and they've all been long gobbled up, and it's just so hard to get a pair, and nobody wants to get off of them. They could have cobwebs growing on them and haven't been used for anything meaningful for years, and one day they might, so they sit on them forever. If they had some VHF pairs, I might consider putting something up, but I'm just not that big a fan of VHF in general. So, it's just the antennas are longer and more difficult to deal with, and it does work good in the country. You get out there in the open field, the VHF carries a little better. But I like UHF for the city, and I'm a city boy.
Well, the only two reasons I migrated to VHF for the short term is the product presented itself to me and the site presented itself to me, and you're very familiar with both of those opportunities, so it worked out for the gooder, you know me? I mean, if it would have involved money instead of just time, you know, real money, yeah, it would have been all UHF. You know, if I would have had to pay for this stick, if I would have had to done this, if I would have had to do all that stuff, everything else like that, yeah. But, you know, the desensing problem and the 600 kilohertz problem and all the other things that go with it, you know, the pairing problem, I mean, you know, getting pairs that are legit, you know, all those things that go with it, yeah, you're right, 100%. You know, what a nightmare. I mean, heck, if this thing would have been 5 megahertz spread, VHF or UHF, I mean, this would have been so much less grief, but it wasn't, so it made it. But you got to admit, we got a good site, and we had a good opportunity, so we had to capitalize on it, even if it does end up being a short-range repeater, you know, 10, 15 miles, we still had to capitalize on it.
Oh, yeah, no. You know, the site and the equipment dictated. So, our problem. Hey, I just pulled up, and I've got to run across the street real quick. So, let me cut you loose here. W8, if you...
You take care. Talk later. You need to work on that other tower that's sitting there unused in the same town. So I'm going to start pushing you, nudging you gently on that one. Because it would be nice if I could beam over there and steal some internet. W888 mobile.
All right, on the road again, W8RJD.
I am on the road again, W8CSI, how are you?
Hey, Greg, not too bad. Yeah, I'm over here, looks like I'm right behind that Amazon Fulfillment Center in Pontiac. I think I can see the building from where I'm at.
Oh, all right.
Okay. Yeah, you got a lot of static out there, but you're totally readable.
All right, very good. Good to know. Wasn't sure how far the reach was. What I got. So, seems like you make the trip up good. Are you at home?
I think you said, are you at home? No, I'm mobile. I'm getting ready to get on to M59 now. It's crazy. I'm watching those drones take off from the that Amazon center.
Oh, I asked if you were heading home, but that's okay. Yeah, I've seen videos of a little bit of that, so that would be really cool to see that live. And even better if I could get a delivery, but I don't think I'm in range of that yet. So, pretty neat stuff, though.
Yeah, it's so weird to see them at the old Pontiac Silverdome. And they're just, I swear to God, they're launching from this site, and it looks like, it's hard to explain, like if you had, a nest of hornets or something, and then, you know, they're all coming out of the nest.
Yeah, if you like a drone hive there. The video I saw, from what I could see on their launch pad, I saw like six places for drones, but I imagine that there's probably more than that. So, wow, that's quite an operation. I would love to get, just so you don't see it or something. I think that would be neat.
Yeah, it'd be good to get a tour, like, just to see how they... I mean, I know it's all automated, and so it's probably all, like, you know, AI flight paths and everything, and but I'm going to have... I got to get one delivered to my house. Just, I don't know. I'll have to look for something that I can buy that's eligible for drone delivery just to see if I can do it, because I got to see what it looks like when they drop those packages off.
Yeah, that would definitely be a cool experience. Yeah, both receiving one and, like you said, a tour would be cool. I wonder if they offer that. But even driving by like you have, I should make a trip out there just to see that. That would be kind of neat. Just different and new. And, yeah, I do believe that every part of it that can be automated probably is.
Yeah, I see them every day when I'm on my way into court, but I never actually drove down onto Featherstone to watch. I'm actually watching one land right now. It's actually pretty cool watching it land on one of those launch pads as I'm driving by.
Wow, very cool. Yeah, you might be in range for an order. I don't know if our buddy Dave is either. You should try that. And I think there's an option, if you are in range, that you can select drone delivery for an extra cost if you need it immediately or something like that. And like you said, the item has got to be qualified too. So not quite sure how that all works, but if I was in range, I would definitely be trying that just for fun. Order a bar of soap or something.
Yeah, exactly. That's just anything just to see what it looks like when it... And I don't think that any of my neighbors have had any delivered to them, and I've never seen any delivery. I see them... It looks like their flight path has south... Mainly southbound, so I'm thinking, what, they're Pontiac's, so what, maybe the Bloomfield area? But, boy, that feels like that'd be far away. I'm only about 6 or 7 miles from it, so I would think that they'd deliver out my way, but I never see any drones come out my way. I always see them go southbound from the old Silverdome site.
Wow, that's interesting. You would think it would be a 360 out of the site and just limited on range as far as how long will the battery hold up with whatever weight it's got. But again, you know, based on who's ordering from where, maybe there's a little bit to that, too, what's more residential or more orders get placed from. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, it's just like the Amazon truck. Their routes are all AI-generated and everything like that. They probably have it, you know, down to an efficiency science.
I was going to go for a different one. I don't think the trees can order from Amazon. By the way, this is Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Quebec.
Yeah, you're right. I think the trees aren't going to be able to do it, so there's got to be people there placing orders. So good observation there as well.
You never know. Might drop a little something into a baby bird's nest.
Yeah, you never know. Anyway, I got to negotiate some construction and heavier traffic than normal, so I'm going to stand by here for a little bit. KEA-VSI.
Good talking to you, Greg. KEA-VSI, this is W8RJD. Stand by.
KEA-KJO.
Hey, Kuto, what are you up to?
Oh, just finishing up the day, heading home.
Where did your travels bring you to today?
Oh, just local stuff. You know, Southfield, Madison Heights, Royal Oak, and Troy. Nothing major.
Not as exciting as some of your long drives. I hear you like all over. You definitely test the UHF network for the CMN network.
Oh, I keep the repeaters warm and toasty.
Hey man, somebody's got to do it. They got to stay operational. If you don't use them, you lose them.
Well, I make darn sure they stay awake and they serve their purpose.
This is Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Quebec. After all, that's why you have the Mount Clemens repeater still, or why we have the Mount Clemens repeater still, as opposed to GMRS staying and Cross-TAM's going away.
KKQ, how's it going, Darren? Yeah, that Mount Clemens GMRS is still there, but it is not linked. It is strictly local. And that's it. And I don't think it's going to be reconnected at all, at this time being. So it's standalone indefinitely, at this time. And then I try to hit the ump, but I'm on the Warren repeat right now, and I know that Detroit's got some issues.
From what I understood, they're taking down that repeater and putting something else up there. Maybe I'm taking something else up there so they can reuse the
antenna.
Peter, that sounds fun, don't you think so?
Hey, Darren, I think I got the W8RGP. I'll try that again. Darren. Oh, I can't think of who else is up there. Casey KPO, go ahead and then throw it over to Darren ETQ.
W8RCY.
Hey, Darren, I think I stepped on you there. But yeah, I think the FCC ruled that you can't link the GMRS repeaters and they'll fine you if you do it. Back to you, Darren.
I mean, yeah, but at the same point in time, they're only starting to get active with enforcing that, so it might be a little bit of a while before they care about a small linked repeater system like the old CMN, the Central Michigan Emergency Network one, because from what I heard, they had an issue where you just have a small HD antenna and you can pick up all the repeater channels preoccupied by one repeater network, which is very, very horrible, especially in comparison to over here where you have one or two that are linked together. But still, I think ours violated the laws to begin with, and even if they were vague, they enforced them now at the very least, and so people can clearly understand by what they're enforcing. Back to you guys. Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Quebec.
Oh, okay. Well, I know there was a reason why they were unlinked, and I don't think it was in regards to FCC regulations. I think it was in regards to misuse of the frequencies. So that kind of prompted the whole thing. Hello, Donald. Go ahead.
I have a GMRS license, but I don't get on too much, not on the repeaters anyway.
It's funny you say that, because I technically have a GMRS license. Have I ever been on there? Not really. But I have to refresh myself on the proper protocol of how it's supposed to operate and when you're supposed to throw your call sign out? Probably.
Good afternoon, Donald. I heard you out there. Go ahead and step in.
Hello, Tom. Thank you for recognizing me on the radio. I'm going to withdraw a comment that I have about the issues with the Mount Clemens repeater. I'm just going to withdraw my comment. And if somebody is listening, I'll let them comment because it's their repeater or was their repeater.
Carry on.
W8RCY.
Okay, who's next? I think I heard JSD. Is that Jason or who else is out there besides myself and Darren? Go ahead, because I picked up your call sign, but I did not. KCKJ.
Yeah, hey Cujo, it's Ryan, W8RJD. I never got on GMRS all that much. I don't hear, for some reason, I do scan it from time to time, and I don't hear a lot of activity. I did for a while, but then a lot of those people that were on the Mount Clemens repeater, I started hearing them get ham licenses, and then they were on air, so then I had even less of a reason to get on there. Back over to you, Darren.
Either way, I'm still looking forward to the 10-meter repeater that may or may not be coming up in the near future. By near future, I mean probably multiple years at the very least.
Oh, I don't think there's going to be a 10-meter repeater anytime soon. I mean, I didn't even think that was a possibility. But, you know, I'm not a general, so I don't know. No, but I know that, there's in the works for a couple more CMR repeaters and some linkage there. I think the FCC was coming down to that one guy in Georgia, I think what it was, but it was like 30 of them all attached, and that you can't do. But, I mean, one or two I think is fine if it's just extending your reach. But who am I to judge?
I'm not going to lie, a 10-meter repeater would be awesome. That would be really cool. Back over to you, Darren.
Yeah, I heard Sean mention something about that very casually, not like it was a serious ambition of his, but like it's something that he wants to do because he has a radio that can do it technically, so he wants to have some use out of it more than, I think, the single repeater that I'm aware of on the 10-meter spectrum right now is that one that's down in Ann Arbor. But as you were saying, though, you have to have a general or an extra at least in order to get on the repeaters because it is in the upper half, next section of the 10-meter band. And they do FM, and that's how they get away with it. They don't do SSD like other people might be more familiar with seeing on HF.
Oh, I'm just happy with the way things are. You know, got the Central Michigan link with the FBI, and makes it easy for me when I go up north, you know, in the northern part of the state or on the west side of the state, then I got my DMR. But since I'm not driving my vehicle up north this weekend, probably just going to have an HT and probably won't get off too far on that.
Yeah, this CMN network is really neat. Like, I had an oral argument in the Court of Appeals in Lansing, and basically I was able to be connected into the CMN network the entire way, which is really cool. And just about any place I have to travel to, you know, it got so much coverage. Like, my hat's off to all the guys who worked on that. Well, hey, I'm at my destination, so I'm going to duck out. I'm going to say 7-3 to everybody. Cujo, Darren, have a good afternoon, a good evening. 73W8RJD.
All right, Ryan, nice talking again. Good to hear your voice. And Darren, go and do your 73s and go on from there. KCKJO.
73, talk to you later. Kilo Foxtrot 8, Echo Tango, Quebec. I'll still be hanging out for a while.
Yeah, I was right down the street from your shop there, Darren. I was right there at the KCI building there on Sherman doing some work.
That's kind of cool. I had seen somewhere down the street they were taking down some signs recently. I don't remember exactly what was going on or who or what, but that was, there was some traffic going that down the road earlier today.
And I just happened to help out that office with some issues and
got a part ordered for them. How did I end up taking it out from there and going up to a, what is it,
Big Beaver and Maple. Anyway, Big Beaver and Livernois. Take care of an issue there. Done for the day, and one more day of work tomorrow in Lansing and Saginaw, and then I'm off for the next 4 days.
I got a fun question for you. When do you usually start the work day, whatever that means for you?
I'm usually on the road between 7:15 and 7:30.
Okay, well, where I work, they're starting to try to enforce a time frame of you have to be here at 8 in the morning, ready to work at 8 in the morning. There's a little bit of an asterisk. I guess the group that I'm a part of doesn't have to get there at 8 in the morning. I don't know.
Well, technically speaking, my service hours for me are actually 10 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. But because I work with another tech, I start early and end late.
One of my coworkers who has all sorts of soldering tools at home, he's bringing my radio and my power amp to his place to try to see if he can replace the broken components and fix it. He mentioned that he won't be testing out the hardware to make sure the hardware works, which is, I guess, fine. I guess I can figure that out. Since I have a dummy load and all that, it shouldn't be hard. The fun part will be, though, testing out that SDR radio again.
Gotcha. I don't know what you did that night, but, ooh, she got hot quick.
It was funny when we were at work today. One of my coworkers was just like, "Hey, can we stop and inspect the hardware? Because something doesn't smell quite right." And I'm just like, "Yeah, that smell's been going on for a little while now." And they're like, "Yeah, well, it's getting stronger now." And they figured out that the power supply, which we never really heated up much until just recently, heated up enough that it's starting to get rid of the new power supply smell.
Yeah, it's probably the flux on the solder joints. It's not always cleaned off. And probably from using it, it's heating it up enough to give out that wonderful smell. But yours, I think your SWR was off and you get a backfeed of current into it. And that's what burned it up.
I do not think that's the reason why, but yeah, I agree that something went really, really wrong that day. My observation and speculation is that it has more something to do with the undocumented 12-volt pin that doesn't have any current regulation on it, and something happened with that getting shorted up, something else, and voila, the smoke came out, so... It's not too hard, and it's not too impossible of a reasoning, from my view. Back to you.
And that's why I tape off flying leads on my equipment.
Everything should have been documented within that documentation piece that I had there, or it should have at least explained that there's probably some dumb things that you can do if you mess around with it in terms of having parts break, because that was definitely not clear. On the bright side, I've had started conversations with Zygu, and a mystery X6100 that I have and it's not functioning. Might be able to be fixed shortly, which sounds cool from my view.
Hey, if it's only a couple dollars for a couple of components and then it can be repaired, I mean, that's a lot better than spending a couple hundred for,
you know, some other components or burning something else up. So
let's hope that it works. KKK Joe.
Yeah, I'm here at church early. I'm trying to figure out where I can hang, where I can put the 80 meter dipole, because there's quite a bit of grassy stretches, but it looks like someone's pulling out some machine of some sort that I don't recognize. So I think the grass might be off limits for today, so I might have to just throw something on my roof.
Yeah, give it a shot. You're at church early, so why not? That's what I do when I get to a job early. I'll jump out of the radio. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm yelling so much.
That sounds what I'll do. So I'll hop off the radio, check back in when I can. Talk to you later. This is Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Tango Quebec.
All right, have fun, Darren. 73 for now. KKK Joe.
Bravo, Papa Delta.
Are you going out to golf today?
I am. And I'll golf the whole evening, unless it starts thundering and lightning.
I wouldn't worry about that, even if it was. You ain't got no hair for it to stand on end.
Yeah, when they sound the horns, because it's thunder and lightning, we got to get off the course. You know me, I'm crazy enough. Let's experiment.
Yeah, what's a little adventure in golf?
Well, you know, I'll figure out if I can hold enough of a charge to operate a radio for a minute or two.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Right. You don't even need a radio then if you're, you know, if that happens. You'll be like WABPD, and someone will be hearing you in Zimbabwe or something. And you're just standing there with a golf club.
Oh, yeah. They're paving on Outer Drive. And there's a cop with his lights on, so nobody wants to drive faster than 15 miles an hour. Good Lord.
I just passed one here on the roundabout on 18 and a half miles. Oh, people don't like passing me when I'm driving in my car.
And when they do, like, oh, I could have gone past an hour ago.
Exactly. I've only had it happen a couple times.
Well, I've had people give me a second look driving the way I'm driving right now, but, yeah, years to make me think twice.
Yeah. Wife and I were coming home up M-19 in Richmond. Man, we're waiting in traffic off. This guy in this red Durango comes flying up on the right-hand side. Mind you, it was only one lane, and the right lane was a right turn lane. He was trying to cut traffic. Came up, and he saw my bumper, and he slammed on his brakes and scooted in. That was funny.
They're paving up Outer Drive, comes to Van Dyke. Just as the light's turning green for Van Dyke, they stop, and now they're paving up to the intersection, which is taking almost two strokes of the light. I see people doing U-turns and probably uttering bad words under their breath.
a few choice ones at that.
Well, you know, everybody wants to complain about the unsmooth roads. At least they should look at the bright side. The roads are getting smoother.
Yeah, until the first snow blade hits it. It'll be just like they were before they were paved.
Well, you know, nothing's perfect, but at least Whitmer's fixing the damn road.
Oh yeah, I know that area, man. It's trashed. I mean, it's just, it's terrible. You hit a pothole and you break a leg and you're not even outside.
Well, they've been working along this Connor Outer Drive stretch for the last couple of years. You know, by next year, I might actually have a smooth drive all the way to the golf course.
Which golf course are you going to? The one there on, where is that? Over there on Connor on 94?
Yeah, Chandler Park, right there. Papa Connor in 94.
Yeah, that looks like a nice golf course. Never been in there, so I don't golf, but that's still a good thing.
5-6 years ago, it was a little bit rough. They had some damage because of flooding, but they had been keeping up with drainage and all that sort of stuff. Since then, they've got new management companies. The year after that, and then this year they got another new management company. They've really, really brought it up. Grass is green, and they're smoothing it out where it needs to be. And really becoming a really, really nice course.
Well, is that a city-owned course, or is that privately owned? Yeah, you can take it.
It's actually a city-owned course, but they have a management company come in and run it. WABPD.
Oh, okay. So there's one up by me in, I think, Ray Township, somewhere around there. Ray Center. It's off about 31 North, I believe. Or 31 or Romeo Plank.
Yeah, 31 in North is Timberwood, 31 in Romeo Plank. I forget the name off the top of my head. But yeah, there's several of them out in that area.
I think there's one off of 34 Mile Road, too. There's Romeo area.
Yeah, 24 and M53 area is Cherry Creek. 31 Mile Road, the other one, it would be Pine Valley Golf Course. And 34 and Van Dyke and Bruce Hill. And they're all over out there. Some nice ones and some good ones. I won't say there's really any bad ones.
Pine Lake, that's the one off of 31 and Romeo Plank, right?
Yes, sir.
That's an old one.
Is that Brian?
That when I redid the alarm system in the cart barn.
Yeah, I think I remember that thing. I've only been there like twice. And yes, sir, it is Brian.
Hey, has anybody gotten a hold of you regarding Discord?
No, not at all.
All right, looks like you've been hacked. So, anyhow, you have to deal with it when you get home.
All right, I will do that.
All right, I just wanted to tip you off.
I don't think it's a big deal. It happened a while, a while back. You can ask him what he did. So, all right, let you guys get back to it. WNFU.
Now I got to think of if I change my password on my Discord. Oh, boy. Well, good luck on that one, Brian. Yeah, I remember Wally got bumped on that.
I've had it for all these years, and finally somebody wants to mess with me. I'll figure it out. I'll food them. That's what I'll do.
I know my Facebook got hacked a while ago, and I changed my password to a bunch of numbers and letters. And so far, knock on wood, that's been, you know, pretty good.
Well, I was just on it night before last. It wasn't last night. It didn't seem like anybody, so it had to happen today. I'll figure it out later. You know, tap, 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 tap.
Well, if I get any random cat videos from you on Discord, then I know.
No, I just had a random friend request, which I denied. But I don't know. Anyway, even if I have to start all over, it's not that difficult. I get to start fresh. Go figure.
W8RCY with a comment.
Yes, Donald. Go ahead, KKKJO.
Yeah, Brian, I think you were hacked because I received a message, DM from you that was just totally bizarre, and I just sent you a quick response because I had just gotten in the door of the dentist all morning, and so most likely they get hacked, and Sean is correct, Wally, and was aware that it happened to Wally, and I don't know what he did, but that's what happened. W8RCY, we're clear.
All right, thanks, Donald. I'm pulling into the golf course, and I got to get out in a hurry. So I will talk at you all later. W8EPD on your phone.
All right, enjoy your game of golf. Don't be late for your tee time. Chat later, 73KCKJO.
W3LNS, W4XED. W3LNS, W4XED. W3LNS, W4XED. Can you hear me now?
Currently connected to CMN Network.
W4XBD from KAKNF. I think she's just doesn't want to talk to you.
Well, she's the one who told me to call her. W3LNS, W4XCD, let's try it again.
WRCY 56, whoops. Oh, long day. W8RCY, I had the volume down. Did somebody try to call me?
I heard some chatter in the background, but I don't know who was calling.
Long shot.
I had my volume down as well, Don.
W8RCY.
It's like that AC/DC song, Who's Calling Who?
W8RCY, Tom. Yeah, I turned my radio down and then I forgot to turn it back up because I was doing something else, texting and all that other stuff, and I just thought I heard a portion of my call sign, and I guess I was wrong, so
I don't know who's calling who. If you figure it out, let me know. Have a good evening, W8RCY.
All right, catch you later, 73KCKGL.
Yeah, that was W4XDD trying to get a hold of W3LNF, I think is her call, K-A-J-N-F.
And there we go. K-A-J-N-F.
W4XDD, this is W3LNF.
Okay, you're working now.
Thank you for fixing my radio. I didn't ghost you.
That's good. Come make you dinner.
There's the beef, and I'll be right in.
W4FCD, clear.
W3LNF out.
Connected to CMN Network.
Hello, Echo. Scott Lee Yankee radio check.
You're connected to CMN Network.
K-A-B-B.
Bravo, Papa, Delta.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Kilo Foxtrot, Golf Sierra Delta. Listening for a little bit.